Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Hi, guys. Wow. Well, I am going solo this week. Lara is traversing the glorious countryside of Japan right now, and I am left to my own devices back in LA, just suffering in the smoggy late winter haze. But thankfully this week we are being graced with one of my dear friends. She's an iconic comedian, truly an amazing writer, TV writer, stand-up specials, you can name it. And she obviously is a iconic co-host of a very famous, popular podcast. I'm really excited to have her on. Karen Kilgariff.
Hi.
Has joined SUP as our guest co-host. Karen.
I mean, what an honor.
I am so happy you're here.
What an unqualified honor it is
to be
here. No,
the most qualified. I'm like, this is so exciting for me. We were just saying before, I wish we were doing this in person.
I do too.
You're over the hill from me.
And
right
also
now.
It makes me sad that Lara isn't here because she and I still haven't met in person.
I know, that's crazy.
It's so strange. And we actually talked about it like, oh, we should do, you know, whatever, we have to meet in person. And that was pre-COVID, I believe.
We'll do like a hang. Karen has like truly the coolest house I've been in LA, and it's like the vibiest house. And so I think if I'm going to invite myself over and bring Lara.
That would be amazing. I would love it. And she can bring her dog, and then
they
can
Tony.
Meet. Yes.
And you, our dogs have met. Mango and your Frank and Blossom have sort of a complicated dynamic.
They're a throuple for sure, but the power players change. Mm-hmm. They're in a constant when your dog comes over. My dogs both go crazy in different ways. Mm-hmm. Frank tries to alpha the whole time, and it's really old school of him, and it's really traditional and embarrassing to me. And then Blossom, basically she kind of gets dommed a little bit, and then you get embarrassed. And we all kind of like, it's just, it's a constant thing. And then Frank starts to get maybe a little aggressive. It's just, and they do the exact same thing. It's happened two times in a row where they just can't not do that.
Yeah. Frank seems, he wants Mango.
Bad.
After a certain point. He wants to both destroy Mango and like make love.
Make deep love on the
And Mango and Blossom have this, Mango, I get like embarrassed. I'm worried that he's invading her personal space. And we all just sort of, you're right. We kind of just sit there looking. And I think there was one time where you were like, I feel like we shouldn't be watching.
But also you can't stop because I feel like, especially I have two dogs in the mix. So Mango definitely is in the middle.
Yeah.
But maybe the unlucky pair. We're not sure. Well, like the dynamic shifts very quickly.
Yeah.
High drama.
High drama. They chill out sometimes.
Yeah, but Frank is a very kind of like, Frank has some habits. He's an old dog and he's has some habits. So it's really hard to get him to stop paying attention to Mango or to like just leave it alone for a while.
I love Frank.
I mean, what choice do you have?
He's like the lighthouse keeper of the valley. He's kind of like has lighthouse keeper energy. You know, like he's like a salty old wharf dog.
He needs a big knit sweater with a roll neck at the top. That would be because he could absolutely carry a pipe in his teeth, and that would make sense for Frank.
And a lantern, just up the spiral staircase.
Yep, mm-hmm. Trying to be on the lookout. He's always on the lookout. That's the energy.
Simon and I were driving through Century City the other day, and Westwood, and we saw a place called Wharf Spa.
Oh, what?
And we were just imagining like what goes on.
Guys and waiters walking around.
Yeah, and like foghorns instead of like the relaxing like spa music, just foghorns going and seagulls.
Just reeks of sardines. Oh.
Crab facials. Wharf Spa. I was like, this is incredible. And it's very like, it's on Wilshire. It's just like very, it's like, there it is. But I was blown away by it.
And it's like mid Century City. It's not on the actual
No, it's
coast.
Like, it's coming, it's like between Santa Monica, like right near the Wilshire corridor, like in Westwood with all those big condo buildings, right before that. And it's just
where we all go to the doctor.
Yeah. Where we all, I was coming from the doctor.
Yeah.
But I wanted so badly to go in there.
Yeah, that would be amazing. It would be funny if there was like a kind of a middle of the room fog. Just kind of like you're walking through a kind of like person-sized fog bank everywhere in that building.
And whoever, your masseuse like appears out of the fog.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to surprise you.
Would you like to come back now?
I'm not a ghost. But I am wearing a wet nightgown right now for reasons I can't explain. Okay, I guess I have to trust you're not a ghost in the fog.
Everyone's just wet.
Or like they're unloading huge crates.
There's just like, yeah, there's like a crew of, you know, most dangerous, like snow crab men loading crates. And you never see, there's no boat, obviously, but they're just loading stuff.
They're just loading stuff into oblivion, or they're holding up like lobsters that are too small and throwing them back. You're just like, from where to where? What is this place?
Yeah, you're walking to the massage room, and you're just like dodging like fish being thrown at you, lobsters,
seagulls swooping down,
and you're not sure if it's just the sound of one. They just make it seem like you're like really
That would be like they've worked really hard on the audio experience.
The maison.
Or it's just you in the corner. No giggling.
Yeah, our complimentary sound effects presented by this tall gay man in the corner making fog. So I know like on My Favorite Murder, which is still to this day like just one of the best podcasts ever, I listen.
Thank you.
It's weird, I know, like we've talked about like you listen to Sup.
Yep.
And we're like very close, so it's like weird when I listen to you for My Favorite Murder, because I like kind of separate you. And I'm like listening to Karen, the host.
Yes.
And it like becomes like
I'm very different.
No. And it's just like, it's just, I mean, that's easier said than done. I still like, I'm like, oh, there's Karen. But like, I get so into it, like what you're talking about, that I'm like, Karen, like I get kind of starstruck.
Oh, well, I think we did talk about this because I go through these phases, and Sup has been a big where it's, you become my morning podcast. So it's just a nice way to, when I'm waking up and like, you know, I like to do dishes in the morning, start laundry in the morning, you know, go through like a little a morning process. And, there was a period of time, and it was, I got super into the
Lohan Island.
Oh my God. Yes. Lohan Island for sure. What was the Bret Michaels love
one? Rock of Love.
Rock of Love. Like I was binging it and needing, I was listening to you and texting you. It was like, and I was kind of like up in your business a little bit, but it is that thing I was listening to you and Lara have these hilarious conversations, and I would need to say to you what you had said to each other so that I could like, cause that's like the final, like, and now that I finish the circuit by telling the host, I heard what they said. And so anytime any of my friends do it to me, I love it and I appreciate it because I know that feeling where it's like, it's not enough to know you. It's not enough to listen to your podcast. I need to tell you that I listen to your podcast.
I need to tell you what I'm listening to. Insatiable Bitch Goddesses is, I'm glad that people related to that. And I miss doing that. I miss doing the voices. I miss the women. They were
Then same with New Lohan Jersey Island. Housewives.
Oh, Tough Sicilian Bitches.
And Lohan. I mean, you guys picked some really amazing ones because, well, with all of them, I never watched any of them. It was like my two friends were like, you have to watch this show. Here's what happened. And I
that
literally
was my
am
favorite
like, okay,
detail.
I'll do it later.
Yeah, that made me, for me, I was like, okay, that we're doing something right. If Karen, who's like, you're truly probably the funniest person or like one of the funniest people I've ever known, is just listening for kicks without watching it. I was like, okay,
for the Federation. I'm listening for the Federation.
No, that's so
but
great.
Also because you can recognize when your friends are having like when your friends riff and are having fun and then get to that point where they're like you guys are uncontrollably laughing about a reference. I mean, that's it, right? That's the joy of podcasting. People are having the conversation. You get the observational high of thinking you're included when you're actually just the audience, but it feels like you're with them.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like, I mean, when I get to that place of like, where I'm like about to like piece myself, I worry that the sound of my silent laughing is like frightening.
Yeah.
Because it is, no, it's when you get to that place where you're like, you know, and it's like this sort of like death rattle kind of sound. That's when I'm like, oh God, people are
that's
clicking
what we're
out
in it
right
for.
Now. I know.
We're in it to almost die of having fun because that's what gets us through life is to just push that boundary of like, I'm choking on my own joy right now.
Right. When's the last time on your own podcast? Because you guys always, I love your banter with Georgia and like you guys are, what's the moment, what's a really memory you have of like that kind of uncontrollable laughter? Like either when you were, I think the way you recount, the way you tell the stories of the situation you're recapping or like the crime or the survival story, like you guys always have such reverence and like, you make sure to talk about like the heroes and the victims but you'd always bring that humor, which is why everyone loves the podcast. But like, what's a moment where you were like, oh my God, I can't handle this. I'm laughing so hard.
There's been a ton. It's harder. And you know, like we were saying, it's harder to do it this way. Doing podcasts, not in person.
I know.
It really sucks for the hosts and you have to kind of replace that. Like every once in a while we'll record and I'll say to Steven or Hannah, like, hey, if I'm over talking and that, just cut me out. But it's like you feel like you have to reach extra to get to try to recreate what you were doing naturally just in the same room together. So that's always a challenge. And we're going to have studios again soon. So that'll solve all that.
Amazing.
Reaching feeling. But the first thing that comes to mind when you say that of laughing, it used to happen all the time when we performed live because right. we both did this, but George's would make me laugh because she'd be telling me the story. But she would use, there would be like phrases. One time she called someone, she says, and then, it was something in reference to a person's body, and she called them his upper legs. And I was like, do you mean thighs? And then we both started laughing because it upper has legs. Nothing to do with what we're talking about. It has nothing to do with anything. It's literally her and I in front of like 3,000 people. And I'm like, wait, can you just really quick tell me what you're talking about? Or something like that where like we are having this other experience separate from like we're supposed to be putting on this show. And it's so funny to me because that really it's like a live podcast. You're watching two people talk to each other. And that idea where it's like we should be doing it's like in my mind, it's always like showbiz. We're supposed to be doing a certain kind of show. And sometimes it's that, you know, we don't know each other's stories. We don't kind of know what the other one is talking about. And sometimes we actually do have to ask each other those questions. Or, but also Georgia surprises me all the time because especially with comics, you start talking similarly to other comics. Like people do, the patterns are very similar. Georgia's patterns are nothing like my patterns. We're very different people. And when she says stuff, first of all, her brain is insanely fast and she'll say a thing. And like, I never see it coming. I never see what she says coming. And it's delightful because then, you know, it's not like, oh, I know this joke or whatever. She's always says shit that is so hilarious and so weird.
Well, it's like a partnership. So it's like you got to keep things, you know, fun and fresh. So it's like it's nice when your friend slash creative partner has that like unexpected sort of, you know what I mean? So that's cool that you can surprise each other.
Yes, completely. I think that's the that is actually the fun, especially because we've been doing it so long.
I know.
And it was hard. Quarantine was really hard. So like podcasting and trying to like entertain other people when you're kind of like, what's happening? Like staring out the window. We did that together. It was so bizarre. It continues to be. Yeah.
Karen and I and a few other friends, Bridger Weiniger was one of them, who hosts
Sam Moen,
I Said No Gifts. Sam Moen, Simon, obviously. We did like a weekly game night over Zoom and we would play Quiplash. And there were a few times where like we just kind of stared at each other.
Yeah.
And we were just like, oh my God. Like, is this it?
Yeah, we can't be around each other.
Yeah.
In terms of safety. So I guess this will be it. And maybe this is it forever. Like, I know. So insane.
We did it, like we're talking like deep in like the beginning, like the April or May of quarantine, where it was like, damn, like Quiplash.
Yeah.
And like, and Quiplash I felt so much pressure because it was like, I have to perform. This is my night to perform on Quiplash.
We always want to win.
Yeah.
But that's too, there was some really fun, insane, like Quiplash answers in there that I was just like, remember after a while we just knew who the person was who did it.
Oh yeah.
Like, we got good silly at it.
Yeah, we got weird.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
There's some weird stuff happening. I just sent you the, not to like divert, but it is kind of quippy or like
it's quippy apropos. Thematic.
I guess in like the last hour or so, some top U.S. official, I think at the Pentagon or something, confirmed that a Chinese spy balloon has been traveling over the country.
Oh, what are they, what were they like?
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going on. It was like over Montana or something.
Oh, so they're looking into a fishing resort. They're looking for a wharf spa.
They're looking to get the signal for Yellowstone.
Oh my God, they love Yellowstone.
They're trying to find the signal got blasted into the ethos, and the Chinese government is now like very into Yellowstone. That's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, and then they want to come for their own firsthand Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. You sent me that article, and then I wrote back, did it have the TikTok logo on the side? Where I'm like, what if it's just people trying to find new dances?
Yeah. I mean, look, we're all spying on each other, so like it's not that, but it is kind of like it's like cringe when like one of the top powers of the world like gets busted for spying. There's like I'm embarrassed.
Well, and also it's not like one of those micro robots that they like to show us pictures of where it's like, this could be a fly in your house that's actually right. A camera. It's a balloon.
Like
you mean the 60s UFO sighting style balloon? Like did they try to weather balloon it?
Yeah, it is very like swinging 60s. If you imagine like doot doot, you know, very like mod.
Yep.
A balloon.
Or 1860s. Like, you all went up in a balloon to honor Queen Victoria? Why?
I'm just imagining like a magical hot air balloon like flying.
And someone pulls out a big, long, like a telescope. What are they doing down there?
Yeah.
Crazy mustache.
Did you see that movie that came out like during, there were so many movies that came out during COVID where I was like, what? It felt like a fake movie, but it was the Aeronauts. Yes.
I know.
You saw it?
Yes. Well,
okay.
Well, you go first.
No. I was just like, I was like, these people have both won Oscars, I think. And they're just in like, I mean, what's the plot? It's like turn of the century.
They have to go somewhere, so they use a balloon. I cannot remember the plot at all. It was almost like, one of them's an adventurer and the other one like flips over into the basket accidentally and now they're on the adventure too. Wasn't that part of the beginning?
Oh, I didn't see it. I was just like,
oh,
but I was dying. It made every time I saw an ad for it, it was killing me. But I was also like, I don't know if I can bring myself to actually watch Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones.
I did. Because it was a period piece.
You love that.
And you know, I love period piece, A. B, I love balloons. And I always have. and C, honestly, that's exactly what I thought is, how are they going to do this for 90 minutes or however long they've decided the balloon movie should be? Like, how are they going to be in this balloon? It can't be for more than three scenes because you can't do a full-on movie. Like, but then... And I can't tell you the plot at all at this point, because it really was, I was like, this movie's for me. It's all the things I love. Here we go. And yeah, it was just, it immediately was irritating.
Did they have apartments in the balloon? Did they have like,
no.
Like quarters?
Like, did they go downstairs?
Yeah, well, I was just imagining when you said, like, well, now one of them's along for the ride. I was imagining they had, like, cabins and little, like, chambers.
No. From what I remember, it was, like, a classic. There's a basket underneath, a big torch and then a huge balloon. And it's just a hot air balloon situation, from what I remember. And they were bickering. And then, you know, they bump up against each other enough times and then suddenly they're getting along great. I could have absolutely fallen asleep and dreamed this part. I don't really remember, because I just remember being like, there was a time when people did use balloons to fly around and they thought that was going to be the future of traveling. I think like in the 1700s, there was a time when that was real. And I'm fascinated by like, what brought down Big Balloon in the 1700s? Why didn't it continue?
Well, maybe the French, I don't know, Revolution. It is crazy that
cynicism. Were like, maybe it was just cynicism.
It's an idealist mode of transportation. It's a very like, you have to be an optimist. If you're like,
you have to be a little goofy.
You have to be a little zany. You're kind of Wes Anderson-y. You have to sort of be like, you know, kaleidoscope.
Look into my kaleidoscope.
Yeah. You have to have like monocles.
I think there was some CGI. Okay, this may or may not have happened.
I'm going to just believe you.
You know what would be fun is if we found out I was the only person that watched that movie.
Might have been, Karen.
I actually could have been. And I'm doing it such an injustice because let's just say this. It deserves
justice
more.
Justice for the Aronauts.
It was such a good idea. Like, I wanted to be all in.
I know.
They did do some stuff with, like, real good CGI of, like, what it would be like to be up there. And look, we're really flying. And that helps them get along clouds and stuff. I don't know. From what I remember, you know, then there's, like, weather up ahead.
Ugh.
But then I think they came.
They came down?
From what I remember, but I can't go on record because it literally was like 2 full years ago and I probably was looking at my phone. I probably hit rent for like full price, like $19.99 rental.
Yeah, you're like,
and then immediately just started reading Twitter. I'm positive I did that. So, but I do think they came down out of the balloon sooner than I expected them to, but I could be wrong about that.
No, I was wanting like full stratosphere and troposphere, not coming down to the earth until the last 5 minutes.
Right. It just, how do you, you know.
Was there like a villain or was it just, was weather the villain?
Weather.
Like, I'm imagining sort of like a Daniel Day-Lewis, like mustached.
Chasing another arrow not chasing them. I think maybe. Now I'm also afraid because there was a really good TV series made out of Around the World in 80 Days.
Oh, really?
Did you ever see that? It was so good.
No, I think I saw the original. There was like a movie from the 60s, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They remade it and it was so good. And it was, I think, David, who's the guy from everything. He's been in everything. Broadchurch and Doctor Who. David Tennant?
Dude. Yeah.
Okay, David Tennant is the star of the new, updated Around the World in 80 Days, and he's amazing. The woman who is in it is amazing. Sorry, I don't know her name. I think she's like a younger British actress. And then there's a third guy. I also don't know his name. He was amazing. And I think he was French, a French actor.
Sorry to this woman.
He's really well made. I'm sorry.
Sorry to this female aeronaut.
I do
aeronaut.
Not know this man.
Female aeronaut erasure.
It's so rude. And I don't have a beef with any of these people. And also, I'm the one that brought it up and I don't know any names.
That's literally me every time we podcast, I'm like, the listeners always talk about how I'm like the king of misinformation. So don't worry.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think that's part of recording everything you say and putting it into the public. It's like, well, you're wrong about this. And it's like, right. And so would you be if I recorded everything you said? And I say that defensively as if I don't do this absolutely by choice.
Right. A willing profession.
I'm choosing to record myself and I'm choosing to say things when I know for a fact I don't know if they're true. That's passion.
There's a beauty to it, and it's like a truth. There's a truth to it. You know what I mean? It's true. It's your truth.
And there's a freedom in it.
There's freedom.
It's a true freedom to spread disinformation.
The beauty of misinformation is the purest form of free speech.
Yes.
In a democratic society. In this wicked world, there's I've read about like weird sightings of like in like the turn of the century, like a man hovering around or like flying, and like weird inventions of like people testing out like balloon type aircraft and stuff, and that always freaked me out
that someone might use a balloon to
just like that they were like for some reason. Like, a man in the 1800s testing out some sort of aircraft is, like, freaky to me.
Because you don't know if he's, like, a time traveler or he's just really smart and no one knew about him and he's, like, secret knowledge.
Yeah, I think it's more the time traveler. I think it's more I'm, like, deeply afraid that he's from the future.
Yes. There's a little interesting kind of thing around either Jack the Ripper or there was a guy... they called Spring-Heeled Jack. I don't think it was the same. And this one I should absolutely know. But witnesses would say that he would do stuff and then just like jump away, and he could jump like 20 feet like over a brick wall to get away.
No.
In this way that he was like spry beyond beyond belief. Yeah. And the cops could never catch him because he would just like that was either rumors around the murders of Jack the Ripper where people were just like, this person has gifts or like talent, you know, powers.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That sounds like, what's that X-Files episode where the guy like can squeeze? Oh, the squeeze guy who can like squeeze into the vents.
Ugh, that one is so like, fucking scary.
And I think he was the fucking guy who married Courtney Stodden.
Oh yeah, that actor.
Yeah, that fucking perv. But, he would come out every 30 years. He would like sleep in like a nest, and then he would like squeeze to kill people and eat them or something.
Yeah, that whole idea, when we get into this entity has been around for a long time, so they use a balloon to travel, or they use like, you know what, they jump over brick walls and alleyways that don't exist anymore and any of that kind of stuff, or it's like he's a watcher from elsewhere. It's very believable. It's easy to kind of listen to and hear because you're just like, what is this real? And it's lore. It's why people like lore and repeat lore, because it's like, oh, there's a man that stands on the edge of the forest and watches and he comes out every 15 years. You're like, what? And you immediately believe it because it's the creepiest thing.
Well, it's so specific.
Yeah.
It's like the ritual of some, like, that's the creepy thing of like these people's like the patterns they did. And, you know, but to hear like sort of an urban legend of someone that like only comes out once. But once every crescent moon, and it's, you know what I mean?
Yes. It's connected to some, you moved the rock. But I didn't know it was, I didn't know I wasn't allowed to move the rock. Well, you moved 100%. It, now the guy's coming.
Yeah, he's now yeah. he's relentlessly pursuing you, and he will not stop until you are extinguished.
I mean, yeah, all of those things where it's just like, but people talk about it, so it feels like it's true because this is the thing that this is the lore from this area. Or remember when, like, I would say it was 10, maybe 12 years ago, could be less. All of a sudden, people started showing up in wearing clown suits and carrying axes, and they were, it was on yes. social media all the time, and it became like its own viral trend.
Yes.
Where like they were doing it in nearby here up in the Kern River in Kern County. That's where they had like they arrested two different people, or they caught people on video just standing holding an axe wearing a clown costume. And then suddenly it just kind of started happening here and there around the country. And I was yeah. so obsessed with it, but it was almost like this modern day version of like those weird
Spring Hill Jack, or yeah,
a weird new version of Spring Hill Jack, where it's like it's part rumor and part like, is there an actual threat here, or are people trying to freak people out?
Yeah, I remember that. That was so, it was like it was happening like every few days for like a month or two.
Yeah.
And I think it was like somehow coinciding with like the new It movie.
I don't know.
Maybe. It was weird. I mean, and it was always like they would just like stand, someone would be like on the porch being like, I see you.
Yes.
And it'd be just someone, you know, standing under the lamppost on the front walk.
Yep.
And I mean, like, I want to die.
You want to write it off as viral marketing, but I feel like it was before the new It movie ever was premiering.
Yeah.
It was like, it felt standalone because it was random. And that was part of why it was so scary. It was like, why would you do this?
It was like a concerted effort. It's definitely like a harbinger of things to come.
Yeah. Like, here's an example of bad vibes. The bad vibes started. Yeah.
With
it was
clown,
like 2014.
Yeah, bad vibes started around 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of continued.
Then Trump was elected. And then it was like, oh, I see what's happening.
Yeah. He was the ultimate clone. really fast before we get into our episode. Have you read The Shards yet by Bret Easton Ellis?
No.
His new book? I think mm-hmm. you would really like it.
Okay, I'm writing that down.
It's like a story happening in early 80s. In the valley in like Sherman Oaks, and it's sort of like Mulholland Drive, and there's an active serial killer terrorizing LA like in the background. So it's like this sort of like nebulous dread that's
yep.
slowly seeping its way into this group of high schoolers who go to like the Buckley School.
Oh yeah. Fancy
yeah,
school.
It's really, really scary. You would okay. I think you'll like it. Speaking of entities from a time before now. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Karen.
And you're listening to Sexy Unique
podcast.
Salty Utah Queens.
Do you do that with an accent? Is that one? Do you have a little bit of it?
Salty Utah. It's kind of like a, you know, Joan Collins.
Mae West?
Yeah, Mae West. I'm on Fountain right now. I'm on Fountain Avenue. I am really happy this season is coming to an end. I know you don't. This is going to be a fun episode because Karen is like kind of catching up, we'll say, with what the drama and.
Catching up with the entire
brand. Series, the entire franchise.
So many questions. But here's what's crazy: to know about the Jen Shaw's arrest when I don't, the idea that I can say her first and last name is hilarious. I am not familiar with anything,
right.
And I actually remember when. The season one started, and remember you and I and Bridger, we were talking, you were like, come on, you should watch this season of this because it'll be specifically Bridger is from Utah, like, well, that's something to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think I watched 8 minutes of the first episode and said, I am sorry, I cannot do this.
You turned on the Aeronauts instead.
I was like, I need balloons. I need period dresses.
I need baskets.
I can't look at this.
So this season three, like, you know, I think it's no mystery to people listening to this podcast that I haven't been the biggest fan of this season. I think it's a sentiment that a lot of people share. I think they did a lot of weird dancing around stuff. I mean, they always kind of do that on Real Housewives. There's a lot of like off-screen drama that they don't really get into, and they tease it, yeah. But then we have to be... It's like in Beverly Hills when Kathy Hilton apparently called someone the F-slur.
Oh.
Some guy, the gay F-slur. And we were deprived of that. She had a cease and desist, so they cut all the footage of her like having this meltdown. And I was so looking forward to watching this stately woman call someone, you know, a faggot. Because that would that would be delightful to see. And
you would like that.
But like,
in the 2020s, she did this. She got caught
in the 2020s.
In the 2020s, you tell me.
Yes, in Aspen. She called a DJ, Kathy Hilton, Paris Hilton's mom, whose sister Kyle is on the Real Housewives, Kyle Richards.
Yeah.
She allegedly got so mad at a club in Aspen that she allegedly called a DJ who wasn't playing the music she wanted the F-slur. When he said,
sorry, this is Paris Hilton's mother, so she's got to be at the very least in her late 60s, early 70s, yelling at DJs.
Yelling at a DJ who, he did tell her to go back to LA.
Cool.
But she went, no, I won't stand for that. And then she went after him and went for the biggest insult in the book. But they do this. They like, and then
she
and
called
then
this, him fat.
She called him fat, yes. She said, you have a fat head. No, but that's what this show loves to do. They love to like have several episodes, like a whole arc about something that happened that we are not seeing, we were not able to see, so we don't know what's really going on, and it's really frustrating because it's so cathartic to actually see it, or to at least get the audio, and they don't do that, and they're leaning more into that now, and because a lot of these housewives are so savvy with social media, like they know how bad they're going to look. So they're all like, now cease and desist are becoming a thing. And like now things are being edited and it's highly produced.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like on this reunion.
Yes.
It's a reunion, part two of a reunion that we watched.
Yeah, the final
that I
of
watched.
The whole season. Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, do they know, like, at this point that those commercial breaks when they're called, but they keep rolling, which is like, I was like, this is unbelievable reality show producing,
right?
Where they're like, and cut, but they're not
I
cutting
like
and all cameras are still rolling. I think it's great, but do they know? Because they were saying some, like, private stuff on set.
Yeah. I think they must have an idea. I think they know. I mean, at this point, it's like, it's so produced, but I do think that when... These reunions, I think they film them for like 13-hour days or something. So they're like on the set for basically a whole day. And they're just, you know, they're hungry. They're probably a little drunk, you know, and they're like exhausted.
Yes.
So they might forget that the cameras are there. It did feel like that.
A couple times.
With this episode when they were back eating lunch and they were just like shitting on each other.
Oh, my God. When they went to their separate buses, they're like, I called it the team buses. And then we're just like getting real.
Yeah, the trailer division was very felt. Like you saw the line in the sand.
Yeah, because, well, should we just start at the beginning? Because there's like so many questions I have. There was four whole ladies that left immediately.
I know. So
I was like,
those
what's
are
their...
So they're the friends of. So they're sort of like junior housewives. There's like the varsity housewives and the JV housewives.
Gotcha.
So they're sort of like housewives in waiting, hoping to get. They are. They're like hoping to be make enough stir that they'll be promoted to like a full time housewife. So they sort of
throw them in.
Yeah, they throw them in and they test them. They see, you know, who's a star, who's incendiary, who's like ready to just pop off. And then if there's enough friction, they'll probably have them back. And if enough fans like them.
But on this finale, it was like, okay, bye, almost immediately.
Yeah. It was very like the fog comes in and then it comes out and they're gone. Or like in the train going under the tunnel.
I literally thought I had skipped ahead accidentally because it was like two questions, and then Andy Cohen was like, well, thanks, ladies. And I was like, oh, wait, I thought I was trying to memorize people's like hair color and if someone would say their name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I don't have to worry about those four characters at all. Now they're just not there.
Yeah. I mean, they were so they it was like a kind of a cliffhanger. They had them in the last like 10 minutes of the previous episode, but it was like a jarring exit. I was like, wait, bring them back, first of all, because they're the only ones giving anything in this fucking reunion. But also, what dark magic are you using?
Yeah.
Andy Cohen is a dark lord.
He is the most empathetic, apathetic person I've ever seen. Like, he asks really difficult questions, and then people spin out, and people all the crosstalk begins, and then he ends it by saying, like, well, she's just expressing her feelings, and then he just goes on to his next insane probing question that no one wants asked. It's amazing.
He's amazing. He's like a true, you know, he's an evil genius. He's like, he knows at this point, I mean, this is his bread and butter, and he knows exactly what to say to rile these people up.
Yeah.
And he does. Yeah. And then he'll do that. You're right. He'll do that occasional, like, well, I think she's just trying to, and it's such like the gay friend kind of like mediating.
Tell her what you feel. Don't tell me. Tell her what.
Yeah. Tell her.
That kind and of vibe.
Yeah. And then, or he'll be like, it kind of felt like you were really going in on her with that. You know what I mean? And
yes.
That, and because he's their boss, they have to play nice with him, but he gets under their skin.
Yeah. Well, and I know you're used to this, and this is all like, this is literally me like going through the grocery store, like, look at the frozen food section. But yeah. there was a part where, The main woman that seemed to be the one everyone wanted to talk about that wasn't Jen Shah was Heather. Am I wrong about that?
Yes. No, you're not wrong. You're perfectly right.
So what I was absolutely adoring, and I was like, oh, I could really get into this, because that woman so many times was like, it became this psychological study, right? Because Whitney would say, like, you really hurt my feelings when you said that thing about gossiping or whatever. And then that woman would be like, if you chose to speak ill of other people and I don't participate and you judge me for that, that's not something I'm going to control. And then they roll a clip and she's literally like, what they say, and giggling like the most evil person. Do they not know those clips are being rolled, where it literally is, here's the proof that you are a liar?
They know. I think it's just, it's like just true like kamikaze denial, like at the like they're just like, you know what, I'm gonna just till the end deny, and then when they reveal the footage of them doing what they're saying they didn't, they're just kind of like, I'm learning, I said
I was working on that. There's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And Heather and Whitney, so they're cousins in real life, so they're like Mormon royalty, and they both have sort of, Whitney's officially left the church and Heather's writing a book about her, like, sort of lapsed Mormonism.
She said the church is suing her because of that book.
Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't realize. I mean, I guess any church can sue, but like, God.
Yeah, they don't normally do that. But it was one of the reasons why she had treated people poorly. And I was like, excuses to shit on other people. Well, I am being sued by the Church of Latter-day Saints.
My excuse for being a shitty cousin is because I'm going through issues like being sued by the Mormon church.
Yeah. And that I didn't tell you that, but now I'm going to tell you, and now you're going to feel bad. There's so much. At one point, the one girl said, now we're doing wordsmithing. And I was like, that's what it is. It's people getting caught, or other people confronting people of like, here's what you did, and this is why I didn't like it. And then that other person, the accused, immediately is like, here, you have it completely wrong, and here's what actually happened. Now, I, as the person who has witnessed none of it, I'm like, God, I wonder who's lying. And then they roll a clip, and it's like, holy shit, you are bald-faced lying directly to the face of these people. Like, true gaslighting.
It's pathological.
It's mind-blowing. Yeah.
I think it's, and they, the bummer about later latter days housewives is they're all so freaked out about what everyone's going to say on Twitter and social media. So they're like, they're constantly editing and self-editing because they never want to get the bad edit that's going to like be on all the meme blog, all the meme Instagrams and like the Bravo, you know what I mean? And so they're like constantly editing in their head. So I think to me, my theory is like, that's an example of like someone who maybe didn't do this before, but is now being like kind of corrupted by the spotlight, but also like the fear of being like seen as a villain.
Yes.
Well, by the fans on Twitter. Yeah.
By the fans. What I think is so genius about Andy reading comments from the audience is you cannot argue an objective, like third party who's been watching everything you've done and remembers it and isn't your cousin and doesn't have an agenda. They're just like, no, you lied four times. Like these people that follow these shows have like comprehensive knowledge about their behavior. So then they're writing these questions of like, does it make you feel bad that you said you were on Jen Shah's side in the beginning and now you're not or whatever? And they're just like so nailed, like hearing these questions. It's like God themselves writing in to be like, I watched what you did here, here, and here. This is what you're like. It is.
God watches all, as Lydia Tarr said. But no, and it's kind of Andy's way of, because Andy wants to kind of be like, I'm everyone's friend on this show, but it's his way too of like, I feel like he asks the questions he wants to ask.
Absolutely.
He kind of has to like, I mean, he does do the like, I think you did it, but he can't always be like so direct.
Yeah.
So he has to sort of skirt around because these women, you know, they're the talent. So he has to like make sure they're feeling okay. But he also, so I think the fan questions are easy way for him to be like, the fuck were you doing?
Yeah. And very effective.
So the big issue is that Heather will not fess up as to why she got a black eye when they were in San Diego on like a girls trip. So she woke up one morning. I mean, that must have been insane for you to see.
There were so many funny quotes about, and I wrote some of them down, but I don't know. There was one that was like, I told you that in the hot tub before San Diego. And I was like writing it down like that would be so good on a shirt. And I have no idea what it means or is in reference to. But it's like
that is a great quote.
There's really good quotes of there that make perfect sense to them as they were kind of saying stuff back and forth. But is that the Marilyn Monroe night? Because at one point in all caps, I just wrote what happened on Marilyn Monroe night.
It was Marilyn Monroe, right? They went out to dinner to a charcuterie restaurant that only served charcuterie and they got fucking wasted and all got mad at each other. And then Jen and Heather and Meredith is the one who was sitting next to Heather, who's very like, I will not comment on that. That's Meredith Marks.
I called her a brunette gold velvet, possibly on pills. I don't want to.
Allegedly.
First of all, I love a pill. I have done everything under the sun.
Yeah.
No judgments. But to be on a panel like that and to kind of like, and maybe they were just editing it this way, but every once in a while she would go to do something and it looked like she was waking up mid conversation.
We talk about this. I mean, she's very like tranked. If not literally, like spiritually, something is tranquilized about her. Mm-hmm. So that's very her, and she was a former attorney.
Oh shit!
She has a law degree, so she's now sells jewelry.
Okay, jewelry of different laws
things. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She makes dream catchers. No, but she sells like high end jewelry and like trinkets. But she's very, all of her answers, she's like a wordsmith. She never answers a question completely. She does that lawyer thing of like, well, I will not say or I won't say what's going on.
Yes.
And it's, or like, does, so the, you won't like, say it.
Has a whole third answer that to a question no one asked. Like she just starts talking about something else. Yeah.
We have all said things that we do not feel proud of, but I'm not saying that I'm one of those people who does not feel proud of the things they've said, but I will not say that I did feel proud of that moment. And then she's like,
yeah.
Not
but her, that dress was amazing. I was like, who can wear gold velvet? That woman has like, I mean, they all do. That it's it was a real, like, the fashion alone. I was like, Jesus Christ.
These yeah, her dresses. Dress was hypnotic.
It was amazing. It
she has
really
like
good.
A witchy, I like her. I do, I'm a fan of her vibe. There's something really like, you know, and I like that. I think it's like kind of mesmerizing, but she's frustrating because she's full of shit.
Yeah. She's a straight up liar. That part where they were like, you took a bath with your husband. And she was like, we were just talking. And then there's a whole thing of her sticking her toe on his taint. That was like the clip they rolled directly after where I was like, this is fucking amazing. Like,
I'm like, Meredith, you're literally foot fucking your husband right now in a bubble bath. Like, and then she's like, we were just having a conversation and we happened to be in the tub and my foot was under his area. And then Heather was adding to her lie going, oh, for traction. I get it.
Yeah.
I was like, what? You in on this together?
Yep. They planned it out.
Well, that's the thing, too, that I'm sure you noticed it, but, like, on all the reunions, there's always, like, an alliance. So they have, like,
yo, yeah.
I'm going to back you up. You're going to back me up. I mean, we can tell it's, like, it's literally just the two groups versus each other.
But the idea, I'm sorry, I'm stating the obvious. They just recorded all of their behavior for, like, a year straight. It's all on tape. Back yourself up all you want. You're two liars. And then the clip rolls, and you're proven to be a liar. Like, there's kind of no...
And Heather will not tell the... Like, Heather, her... And look, we've both been there. Like, she's like, I was blackout. It was this, like, dark period for me where I was drinking a lot. And I, like, woke up, and I don't remember how I got my black eye. And I felt too ashamed to admit that I was just drunk, which I'm like, okay, that tracks.
That tracks entirely.
But it also doesn't. Because
then roll the clip and she's like fake humping somebody, which is that how she got the black eye? Like, what happened?
Well, that's Jen Shah.
Who she was on?
Yeah. Who she was, like, as Angie K said, Barbie scissoring. but it's like, she was also kind of the last few episodes. She was really she was dragging out, like, well, I know what happened, but I'm not going to tell you what happened. And some people know what happened, but you don't. And I'm not going to, that's privileged information that you won't. And it's like, so you're saying something did happen, but you're not. She made it seem like something kind of crazy happened. And she sort of implied in some way that Jen was responsible, whether she admits it or not. And then she doubled down on this reunion and was like, I was just drunk and I slipped or something.
Oh.
So it's like, you're lying again.
So she was trying to maybe say, do you think she was going all in on, like, well, since she already has been arrested, I'll just say she hit me? Like, that idea?
No, I mean, maybe. That's a good, I mean, yeah, I think that could be something. Or, I mean, I think Andy might have brought it up in the last previous episode, but, like, did you not want her to get in trouble because she's already going down for so many things? Did you not want to add, like,
oh,
felony assault or something?
But they also they started that episode with this kind of, like, there's a rumor that you guys were having sex or that you do have sex, and that it was a very odd conversation. And then it was super odd, and Heather's response was like, she's your friend for 30 years and you think I did a sex act. It was a very strangely phrased, like,
it was
weird response.
She didn't really answer it. Her answer was sort of like, well, again, you're not saying anything to really refute it, but you're also, that was a weird moment.
And it was like, and then they immediately dropped it. So it was this kind of like, and then they throw to the tape and that's what was happening. It was like, or something weird was happening that I was like, okay, they're going to get into this whole event. And they never did.
So they cut out, you see like a Blair Witch, like, Paranormal Activity on the wall camera looking down at her, and it's like 4 a.m. of the night of said black eye, and then you see the doorknob jumble, and then she opens it, and then it cuts, and then you cut. So that was how they did it. And then they reveal that it was just Jen, Meredith, the lawyer jeweler, and another housewife just coming in to, like, party more at, like, 4 a.m.
Oh.
So something happened, I think, in that time. Like, one of them had to have known what was going on. Like, you know,
and they're,
I mean,
just not saying. Yes.
Yeah. And we're never going to know. And Laura, as she said, she wants to sue Heather for putting us through that and not giving us the information.
Well, and I'm thinking, and I'm obviously wrong, like in their adult lives, but like these are all women who used to be in the Mormon church where you're not supposed to drink or do anything.
Yeah, I think like three or four of them are Mormon, at least.
Oh, okay.
Three of them.
Not everybody. That's not a given.
Or we're right. Yeah. And then Lisa Barlow. She's the one from New York. No, no. She was raised Jewish from New York, Long Island, and then converted to Mormon for her husband.
Oh, okay. So she doesn't drink or does?
No, she drinks. She owns a tequila company. But Heather did talk about, like, I was raised to be this good, perfect girl, and this was not in line with the behavior. So she did. I mean, look, I could believe both scenarios.
I just think it's that whole story. I was like, well, this seems like people who aren't that good at drinking. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing stuff that reminds me of being 17, where you're
it's like they never got their wild years or something.
Right. So now they're just like vodka until 2 a.m. and then let's see what happens. Oh, now I have a black eye and I kind of can't explain it.
Yeah.
And people are mad at me.
Yeah. And it's like, if you're up at 4 a.m., it's not just alcohol.
Right.
Right.
And they're rich, so they can access drugs freely.
Yeah. I was just like, I know you can like maybe be on adrenaline, but like you need something to stay awake.
Yes,
when you're
for
drinking
sure.
That much. Anyway.
Adrenaline from what? Great conversation? Like what? what?
Stimulating conversation.
They're just like,
wit.
This is amazing.
Banter.
But can I just ask really quick, what was Marilyn Monroe night? Like, was it they declared it themselves?
Yeah.
And then wore outfits? Okay.
It was Marilyn Monroe. I think Whitney Rose came up with it. Yes, we will all be Marilyn tonight and go have charcuterie. So Whitney then brings up that like Heather wasn't really there for her when she was unpacking her trauma on her healing journey. She's on a healing journey.
Yeah.
Because she had childhood abuse.
They did those right in a row. It was kind of like accuse someone of having extramarital or like secret lesbian sex. And then here comes you weren't there for me when I had these revelations.
There's always one person that just gets fucking torn up in these reunions. Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you're watching the season going on, you're like, oh man, they're gonna get so much shit.
Yeah.
But Whitney said, it's time to testify. It's time to absolve yourself in front of me, the Wild Rose. And Heather's like, that's not true. I was there for you, Whitney. I don't know what you're talking about. And she says something kind of shitty. She goes, well, we only ever talked about your trauma on camera.
Mm-hmm. That was like, mean.
That was a really mean dig.
And then at one point, Whitney said something about, well, it's hard to do this with you. You're the master debater. And I was like, as I was sitting there, I just wrote down, I'll have to take this on faith because I haven't seen any evidence of this. But then I started seeing what she meant where she would do a thing where she would argue, talk over. She would do the thing where if Whitney was trying to make a point, she'd just start talking so that it would just be like rabble. And then she would go, I don't want to do this. I don't want to involve my family in this. She would play this like she would suddenly declare the argument to be done because she was above it or she wasn't going to be brought down by it. And it was a weird power move.
Well, yeah, she's sort of like kind of big sisters Whitney and she kind of keeps the Wild Rose at bay. And I think Wild Rose on her healing journey is breaking through and she's gaining her voice and her truth. And I think Whitney or Heather realizes that dynamic can't last. So she's like, I think she only liked Whitney when she thought she could kind of like dom her. And I think you're right. I think that's what Whitney was saying was like, I can't, she's quicker than me with like, some people are just not as like, and that doesn't mean they're not smart as that person. They're just not as like brash or quick.
Yeah, they don't know those tricks. There are some very, I was kind of enjoying watching people like roll out their trick bag because that, you know, Heather was like, deny. She did that one thing one time when they were saying, you did do that, Heather. And she was like, oh, look, Jen Shah did those things. That's not my fault. She like did that. Like yeah. Now this is a third topic and you're,
yeah.
She pretended they were accusing her of something totally different.
Yeah.
Like there was a real, like you could walk through the trick bag. And then when they would be like, no, no, no. Because right. Is Lisa was the one sitting next to Whitney.
Yeah. She was sitting next to Wild Rose.
And so Lisa is good at arguing and she is good at being like, you're wordsmithing.
Good.
Yeah.
She's, a lot, I'd say about 40% of what she says is absolute nonsense, but she's committed to it and she has conviction. So you're like, okay, Lisa, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but I believe you.
Yes.
You could be lying to me right now, but I kind of believe you. She's the queen. So Lisa's like, no, no, that's not it. I love my family. I love my children. I love my husband. And nothing you can say can change that. Like, it's very like, okay.
Yeah. Great.
And she kind of interjects a lot.
She also grabs both pieces of hair like at chest level and kind of at one point it was like she got shocked by some piece of news and grabbed her hair. And I was like, that is the most fascinating character study. Like she just grabbed both hanging pieces of hair.
Well, as we find out, Lisa is like one of six kids and is like the middle child. And I think had to parent herself. So she's very like she has middle child energy.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that's her way of soothing.
Yeah, a lot of self-soothing.
Meredith goes, no one likes being called a liar. Well, yeah, no shit.
That was the time she woke up from, she was absolutely checked out. And then she definitely picked her head up to say, no one likes being called a liar.
No one likes to be called out.
It was effective, like, though.
It was very effective. That's why I'm like, she hypnotizes you.
Yeah. And she's making a salient point about the bigger picture of like, hey, you both fucked up. And like and that's what happens between people. If I wanted to say to you, Carrie, you ignored my feelings and then you couldn't handle that, that would shame you really badly. So you would need to say to me, my feelings don't matter, right? And these are like, we've all fucking done this.
We have.
Everyone's done it. Drunk and sober.
We're not sitting on like two couches with like wearing a dress that we can't breathe in.
Yeah. Yeah, we did it in college or like even younger. Mm-hmm. So that you know that this will go nowhere. Like this isn't the way you confront people about responsibility for feelings. And that is the way to get out of it. This the trap door, the side door out is someone makes a large scale everyone is guilty statement or everyone is vulnerable and now you're done with this conversation. You don't have to talk about that anymore.
All too while they're sitting, their posture is so good. Did you notice that? They're just the way they're sitting. I'm like, damn, that must be hard on your back.
I feel like the posture is related to the amount of Botox in their faces. Because there was one cut to Heather, I believe. Yes. And it was like they were talking about other stuff and then they just cut to her for a reaction and she I was like, that's what I would look like. Like I've gotten Botox before and that is it gave me this weird I looked very stern all the time. Like I looked like I was always on a Zoom meeting. It was just like when are we leaving? And that's totally
what
she looked like.
Well, that's what she does for a living. That's her company. Zoom? She's the CEO of Zoom.
She started Zoom?
She founded Zoom.
She's so rich.
No, she runs a beauty lab and laser like Botox place. And another theory is she got a black. So another theory is she got the black eye from bad Botox and she thought it would look bad for her business. So that's why she's not saying anything. Which I also believe that. I buy that.
Yep. She got Botox in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
After Marilyn Monroe party.
Yeah. After she got beat up by Jen and then she got Botox.
Part of this feels to me like when you go visit your friend that goes to a different college for like the weekend and you have to like suddenly you're involved in it's like the same recognizable problems, but you just don't have to be connected or care about them.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of fun in that way where it's just like if I dip in too long, I will absolutely become obsessive about these things because it is fascinating. But I think the reason I don't, it's like that reason I will get really mad about Melanie or whoever.
You're like,
is there a Melanie?
Melanie? Meredith?
Meredith, yeah.
Melanie. Sorry. Mel C. Mel B. from Spice Girls. And basically, Whitney's like, how did you treat Jen with such grace and gave her so much room when she's doing deplorable things? But with me, you had no patience. And she's like, and then she goes, well, I hold Jen to a lower standard than you.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, that's real.
It was really real. And then Whitney misunderstood what she meant. And then Heather had to re-explain it without being condescending. You could tell she was trying her hardest. But since they're cousins, I bet in real life, off camera, she would have been like, I said, it would have been one of those moments.
Yeah.
But instead, she was trying to like be, she was just using that hand gesture to try to explain it.
Exactly. I think Heather is really, I mean, for the first two seasons, she was sort of like the audience proxy and like she was everyone's favorite. Like she kind of was like the voice of reason and like the person being like, get a load of this shit.
Yeah.
And I think she got kind of comfortable in that position. And this season, she's like branding, she's expanding her business, she's writing a memoir. I think she's like trying to become like the Bethany Frankel of this. And I think so she's very aware constantly of how she looks, how she seems. And I think it's really fucking her over, unfortunately.
I empathize entirely. I also think her dress was gorgeous. Every time they cut to that dress, it was like sparkly tangerine bronze. I don't know, but it looked amazing. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about Whitney's dress though, because you could see the zipper.
That was bad.
The zipper design that was intentional. I just unzipped this gown.
Her straps on her shoulder, they were moving a lot, especially in the first, and I kept being like, just fix it.
Let's get some tape.
Get some tape. Shoot, June was busting out all over. she's positively bursting out of that dress.
For real. I mean, it's kind of like, this is what money can get you. And it's, you know, it is kind of amazing.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And then we get a clip of what the Wild Roses podcast, which just killed me. It was just her and some other woman that like looks like her, but just like with taller hair.
It hurt me so bad to watch
and
that
bigger
clip.
Boobs somehow. Mm-hmm. Just sort of like sitting at a kitchen island with like, two glasses of, you know, Chardonnay behind them, just being like a little drunk.
Being drunk and kind of making these statements where I was like, this is what you sound like on your podcast. Like, it was that kind of thing of like, I don't think that she, but ultimately I think this and that. It was all like kind of buzzwords. And she said gaslight and she said, you know,
yeah,
like those different things. It was like she had to get all the way away to say her side of the story. She had to go to this podcast studio.
I wrote that this was me and you potting tonight. It is.
We're parallel. We're like sitting parallel, yeah. Facing forward.
It is very like she sort of uses like buzzword therapy stuff. And it's like as like she like lobs them at people. And it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
I know you're hillin. And I'm proud of you for being on your hillin journey. But don't talk to me about gaslighting. We all know. You know what I mean? It's like, okay.
It's a bit. It also, it's not, it doesn't apply to everything. It's not, and it's also, everybody does it. Everybody does all those things.
Like, yeah, also, sometimes it's like you're not being gaslit, you're just fucking annoying.
Right. Yes.
You can be gaslit and you can be also just annoying. And two things can be true at once.
That's right. That's right. Hillen. That's what Hillen looks like.
Did you love her voice? She says Hillen.
Does she? I didn't notice any of this accent, but I'm really loving I'm just loving being exposed to it. This is basically what it's left you with for watching a season of these people.
You mean
talking.
This accent?
I think I was distracted by the zipper.
The zipper
look. Where I was like, is it intentional? It must be intentional. I was like having a whole conversation. But I also was very nervous for her. Like when she was speaking, she was trying to say meaningful things and she was getting shut down in such creative ways that I was just like, oh, how does she ever do this? She can't.
It's hard. They break for lunch and Whitney goes, ha, is it already 2:30?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it is.
It is.
And then Lisa says that she's like, I don't understand when they're eating like bowls together, like grain bowls, and she's like,
sure,
I don't understand, somehow today Heather's being so subdued, what's going on with her? I don't know this person sitting over there.
Was that true? Do you think she was like trying to be on her best behavior?
Yeah.
Was she subdued in part one?
She's like, she's sort of like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, I you know, it's very like but defensive. It's like she's being like sort of careful. She's more careful this reading than she was in the last two, which is a bummer because she can be funny.
Right. No, she seemed like she was there to defend herself for sure and to kind of like try to present what she's like, you will judge me based on this right now, not on, and then it's like roll the clip and she's rolling around on the ground or whatever. Just like,
it does feel like a presidential debate. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's like eight of them on stage, and like Marianne Williamson's just there, like talking about psychic terrorism.
The thing where they would just all start talking at the same time, where I was just like, well, you must know this is impossible. It's bad entertainment. It's bad for like the sound guy, probably is going insane. Like, none of this is going to solve anything. You won't win your point. You're all just talking.
They bring the husbands on.
Oh, I can't. That, from the teaser clip at the top to when they were actually there, I don't want to see
that. I checked out too. I don't want to see. It was a snooze. It was a real snooze.
Their teeth were really big. And
big veneers.
There was one who literally was keeping a stiff upper lip so that he wouldn't cry. And it was so uncomfortable to me.
Lisa's husband, John.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I didn't appreciate when you talked ill of my wife.
Yeah.
I was very hurt by that.
It was like to bring your real feelings to that panel.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, sir, no, please. I just got here and I know you shouldn't be doing this.
And then Whitney Rose and her husband are giving like swingers. His swinger energy was like his mustache is like, hey, his unbuttoned shirt. He had a tan.
I can solve this. Where it's like, no, you can't, dude. No, you can't.
I don't know if you can solve anything.
I can solve it. I can get these guys back together. Also, I was actually genuinely shocked, not to be a total prude, but they were like, well, somebody said like you guys were inappropriate in that one thing. And then they roll a clip of like, it looks like they're getting ready to have sex and he's spanking her. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and they're like covered in like mud or paint or something.
Yeah. What?
Well, he got fired from his job allegedly for that.
For doing that on camera?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, I see
I know,
it.
I'm
I
not
can
that
see
surprised.
That. It's like, what?
It was not anything I wanted to see.
What does he do for a living?
I don't know.
He's a priest.
He's a priest. I mean, he got excommunicated from the Mormon church because they had an affair together.
Mm.
So both of their marriages ended. I think she was like his secretary or worked for him or something.
Okay.
So he's been excommunicated and then they've like embraced this kind of wild drinking lifestyle. And she's the wild rose.
Does she call herself that?
Yeah, like she's like, she is the wild rose. And so she, like, they like to present themselves as this, like, free-spirited, oversexed couple, just living on the edge of on the fringe of Salt Lake City.
I mean, that suit, I appreciate that because it's original and it's new. And you've never seen two married people try to do that before.
But it's not something I want to see ever again.
The spanking thing, I was just like, what, wait, what? It, like, what is happening?
You're not a prude. It was just gross.
Yeah, I was just kind of, I didn't realize. It seemed so much more intimate. I was like, isn't this a drinking, fighting at a restaurant show? Like, what are we doing here? There's
Shady.
Bathtub. There's that.
Fighting in an empty restaurant.
Yeah. with like a lighting guy right behind you.
Yeah. Andy, so I like this. Andy calls out Meredith because in the previous season, Meredith was like so anti-Jen because Jen came for her son on Twitter and called him a twink.
I think you told me about this when it happened. For some reason, you and I, maybe it was for some other reason, but I remember this.
Meredith has like an iconic queer son named Brooks who's like, lives in New York and he's a fashion designer and he talks like
hell
this.
Yes.
And Jen and him had like a Twitter spat and she called him like an evil twink or something.
Oh.
And Meredith. And then when Jen got arrested on camera, which you need to just watch that episode without knowing it, just stand alone. It's an iconic episode.
Okay.
She gets arrested in a Sprinter van.
Mm.
Homeland Security and the FBI comes to the parking lot where they're in and Jen flees before they get there. And then they come and the rest of the women are just waiting for her, like waiting around. And then they come and they're like, what? And it's like Homeland Security.
Fuck.
She got the tip. Someone called her and was like, get out of there right now. They're coming for you. So she didn't want to get arrested on camera. So she fled and got arrested like on the road.
Well, that's kind of smart, though, because you don't want to be arrested by Homeland Security on camera.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. Then when that actually happened, I heard about it and I also read people's comment threads. I love to do stuff like that where I'm like, what are other people saying to each other about this? And that always is very interesting to me because I'm just like, wait, what? And the discussion they got into, which might be skipping ahead too far, but it was compelling to me. It's a free for all, right?
Free for all.
It's a free association. But they started talking about like she like when they were talking about like her, how guilty would she be if she was recording a show like this, then like the one, was it Meredith who was trying to say it doesn't make sense that she would be on this show and agree to be a housewife and while doing this because you would get caught naturally. So the logic wasn't there where I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like they were really starting to get into the psychology of how could you go onto a reality show when you know you're doing this thing that's going to get you arrested.
No, it's interesting. And Meredith kind of brought up like, she was like, well, there was, she kind of like alluded to something that like Jen knew before the show even started that she was starting to be investigated. Mm. And then Andy's like, wait, what are you talking about? She's, and then Meredith's like, well, that's just saying what I heard. And Andy sort of says, and then when Jen got arrested, Meredith was kind of like gloating a little. Like she was sort of like, well, because at that point she'd already written her off and she was like very like in the bathtub. Like,
yeah, she said, I knew it to somebody.
To Mary Cosby. Like,
you're saying you're surprised. All bitchy. Yeah.
And, but then this season she was like ride or die, like went to New York with Heather to support Jen when she was being sentenced. Like suddenly her tune changed. And Andy was sort of like, why? Since when are you like team Jen when you last season you were like her number one enemy and like rooting for her to fail? And right. Meredith was like, I always root for the underdog.
Yeah, that was the funniest. Okay, because then it's like, then they're rolling the footage. Like, she wants to deny. Yeah. She wants to deny and just lie. That's like, but then they're just like, here's 96 examples of what we're talking about.
Exactly.
I just get so surprised when they, it doesn't make sense to be like, but then that is a perfect dodge of like, I always root for the underdog. So it's like, I'm sorry. So you're saying the person that got arrested for scamming people for millions of dollars is the underdog? That's weird.
And then she brings up like her nephew tried to kill himself. So she's like, I know that Jen tried to take her own life. And because that hits home for me, I'm going to stand by someone who tried to take their own life.
Yeah.
And then Andy's like presses on her a little and she's like, well, I'm, you know, do I think she should die? No. Why wouldn't I be? And then Andy goes, no one here is saying she should die, Meredith.
Yeah.
And then I was like, in my head, I was like, okay, because he plays favorites. And I was like, he just wrote her off. I think he doesn't like, you can tell he doesn't really like Meredith.
Yeah, because that's an egregiously unreasonable, like, stop arguing if that's what you're about to say. Just stop. Yeah. Admit you're lost. Because it's like, she basically was like, you all want me to want her to die. It's like, well, that's a little bit unreasonable, don't you think, in this discussion?
Completely unhinged. So you're saying if I didn't support her, that would mean that I would want death on her.
You're asking me to kill my friend? Yeah.
You're asking me to kill this woman who has children? How unreasonable. And then Andy's like, that's not what I'm, none of us are saying that.
Andy's like, look, I'm going to have to intervene here. This is going to step too far. This is crazy.
That was like maybe the crazy, that was like the underrated craziest moment of the maybe the season.
Really? Yeah, because it wasn't, she didn't have to go that far. Like she went there. She did it.
Yeah, it's like you just took it to a place of death. You took it to a place of afterlife when it didn't need to go there.
No.
It's a strange behavior to go from being gleeful, ostensibly being gleeful about someone's downfall to then being like, while they're facing guilt charges for frauding elderly people.
Yeah.
Suddenly you, this like moral compass of the show, or how you treat yourself like this paragon of morality, you're now being like, I ride with her, I stand with her till the end.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, well then roll clip number 800 to prove you don't. Like, yeah, it's just a very it feels short-sighted.
Yeah,
but I guess that's what this is for, right? Because what they're this is kind of like the hot seat, where it's just like, we've all observed you being this way for a season. Now you have to answer for it. And they're still doing this same thing at like a denial kind of psycho person would do, where it's just like, no, I didn't. It's like, but you, we have a season's worth of you doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really like a moment of like, there, I think once you do the show for a certain amount of time, you start like becoming less self-aware and you're like always filming, you know, and like you're always on and you're always like, well, this is going to get edited, or like, I'm, you know, I'm aware of the camera, but you're right. This is, the reunions are like in theory supposed to be this like moment of atonement.
Yeah.
And it's becoming more and more, it feels like it's becoming more of a thing where the reunions are just stale because they all just are so afraid of how they're coming off.
Well, and I think maybe have people learned, I'm not sure, but it seems to me, because this is, you know, whatever, the fifth franchise or something, that these women know how to housewife, right? They're doing all the, they want to win, they want to be the best one, they want all their side projects to go, they want to sell their merch, right? That's the game. Them sitting there, you know, like at one point, Heather, right, the blonde with the one shoulder dress, it was like, Whitney was trying to say something to her of like, it really hurt me of all the things you just said you regretted. That was the very end of like, and you didn't regret our friendship. And then, and it could have been an edit because that's how these shows work. But the look she gave that girl back, she might as well have said out loud, like, I'll never forgive you. This is over. Like, I don't give a fuck what you think. That's what the look on her face was.
Yeah.
They absolutely could have picked that because it was just this kind of stare, like, you just told me how hurt you are and that I hurt you and I basically am not accepting it. It's so like the psychology of it is intense.
And that felt like, it's like a look. It almost felt like a sibling look.
Yes.
Like when someone in your family like kind of pulls the rug out from under and like reveals something in front of mixed company.
Yeah.
And you just shoot that look of like, you're going to hear about this in 20 minutes or like, or, I'm so fucking mad at you for like, it's like, you, how dare you just out me?
Yes. And then also, how dare you leave me with no, like, I am now proven wrong, because that, I think that's after a while, whether it's their personality and they're just like narcissists, or whether it's just what the show teaches them to do, admitting that you're wrong, or going like, you know what, that, like, she kind of started doing that at the end, but there was this hardness about her where it was just like, I'm sorry, I can't be all things to you. Like, there was answers like that after a while where you're just like, a bigger person would have just said, I'm sorry, I hear what you're saying, and I don't like the idea that you would be hurt that way. But they're not doing any of that shit. Like,
no.
I think Whitney was trying to do a little bit of it and thinking she could get that out of her.
I think Heather has a lot of resentment towards Whitney.
But does she have good reason? And I don't mean that against her. I'm like, genuinely asking.
I honestly, for me, in my opinion, Whitney's biggest crime is sometimes she's annoying.
Mm.
And like, she's just kind of like, you know, she gets drunk and she like, she's a fire starter, but she gives good TV. I have come around on her a lot. She's a divisive figure. But I think she, in this situation, I think Heather was really hard on her.
Yeah, it seemed like it. But it also seemed like there was something got crossed that Heather was just like, no, this is done.
Yeah, I think Heather's written her off.
Yeah.
And I think Whitney's now like seeing that and is like, oh shit,
yeah,
you know, because this is real, this isn't just like an edit or like the drama of the season, like we're done.
It had that, like, it honestly did start to have that feeling, that really bad, like, yeah, a friendship ender vibe. We were just like, shit, guys, in this beautiful ski lodge, you're gonna fight like that? This gorgeous, we haven't even talked about the set, how gorgeous.
It was like part lodge, part cracked temple.
I was going to start by saying, whose house was that? What house were they shooting at?
They were shooting at they were shooting at Meredith's house. No, it was very, it was giving like Babylonian temple.
Yes.
Struck then, down by God.
Yeah. But also a little bit of Veil.
Yeah. You it was know, very,
it, that was in there too.
Beaver Creek. Yeah. And then they're like, Lisa, what are your regrets? And she's like, I don't really have any regrets.
Must have been nice.
I was like, wow. She's great.
She did
she's
great.
Like,
she did she's great not, this season.
She did. She was the dark horse coming in. She, you know, she was sort of, she became the outcast of the crew in the beginning of the season, and she just willed her way back in.
Wow.
Yeah. She got caught on mic in the last season talking, she and Meredith were BFF, and she got caught on mic saying, Meredith with her stupid family that poses, she's a fucking garbage whore who's fucked half of New York City.
Did she say that?
Yeah, it was on a hot mic. You saw everything.
Fuck. That's intense. Was she drunk too?
Not really. She was she was just like bursting. She was just fuming.
Shit. Garbage whore.
Right. She's fucked half of New York. And I love her stupid fucking family that poses.
Does she mean like they're posers, like they skateboard and they're, but they don't really know how to? What is she?
Yeah.
What's the accusation?
I think it was that.
I found her confusing, especially in profile. There's some, like, doesn't it look like her top lip is bigger? It goes up out over her bottom lip.
Uh-huh.
Little bit Simpsons-y.
She does look like a Simpsons character.
Little bit. Touch.
Yeah, that's so true. She has a very, she's an enigma. She looks like a completely different person when she doesn't have her makeup on. You know, she's very pretty, like, both ways. But when she doesn't have her makeup on, she looks like a... It's like, who is that?
Yeah, I think there was a couple times where they would roll footage of her, like, at home or something, and I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what I was supposed to be knowing, because I didn't think it was her.
Yeah, she's just, like, a businesswoman. She has multiple business. She's an entrepreneur. Her sons are already... They have their own business line. Line of body wash.
What was that weird? There was a weird part where they tried to talk shit about how they raised their son. Like he was spoiled or he didn't do something. I was like, what's
she
this
shut
about?
That right, she shut that right down.
Good.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, Lisa is like the Roy Cohn of, she's the spin doctor of the Housewives.
Yeah.
No, I don't have any regrets. I had a really good season.
Not even the top lip? Okay. Well, then.
Not even the top lip. No, it's perfect. I love it. I love my husband. Love my boys. Love them so much. My husband and I are sealed together in the temple forever.
If you break the seal, we'll haunt you for 700 years.
We're going to haunt you for 7,000 fucking years. If you break the seal, I'll come back. Don't
try.
There
will be so many scarabs crawling everywhere around your house if you break this seal.
You will wake up to 1,001 beetles in your own bed.
Wait, can I tell you the quote? I just looked down because I did write notes, but I haven't looked at them this whole time. But I just looked down and I bolt.
We covered all the
good
stuff.
We really did.
Yeah. What was the quote?
I have my own victories. I realize I'd been insensitive to Lisa at ski day.
Was that Heather?
Yes.
Or Meredith?
Well, yes, because Andy said she had been the own it girl, but now, but then she had been changing and that was when it got super real. Cause they were like, whoever wrote in the question, the viewer said was something going on in your private life that we didn't know about. Cause you changed. And it like kind of rung her bell a little bit. And then they were basically talking about how the ways she had changed, the other people were talking. And then Andy was like, do you agree or whatever? And she was like, I've gone through hard stuff. And then she went into her thing, the lawsuit in the book. But then she said, but I have my own victories. But I own being mean to Lisa. Or I realized I'd been insensitive to Lisa on ski day.
Ski day is so beautiful. And I think, I honestly think the amount of time she spent with Jen also like affected the way she behaved. Because Jen is like very toxic. extremely manipulative, pathological, and destructive person who, like, is abusive and has thrown phones at her staff.
Ugh. She's well, you could kind of tell that because of that necklace she was wearing in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Did you see the size of that? It was like a chain choker.
She's in a hot tub. She's evil.
What
in the beginning
doing?
Of the season, I was like, I don't want her to go to jail. She has kids. And now I'm like, bye.
Yeah.
Because I knew she was wrong, but I never want anyone to go to jail.
No. It's horrifying.
But then she's going for 6.5 years.
Shit, man. That's serious.
She was the godmother of this ring.
And they basically were just ripping off old people that would give them like their credit card number over the phone.
They would just be like, you know, when you get those like telemarketing, like, you're in trouble for this, or like this dangerous thing has happened. And then the old people are like, oh shit, okay.
That's her.
Yeah. She would like clean them out.
That's how she got that big necklace. She's like, it's all worth it.
The heart of the ocean. The heart of the hot tub.
Jesus Christ.
Karen, if you had to pick someone from this cast of SLC, who would you say you're most like?
Right away, and I thought it the second I saw her on camera as Heather. I think that I am, I use words. I'm a wordsmith. I think I'm a gaslighter and a wordsmith. I also think that I can go very flat when people piss me off. Like, I definitely engage. The nicest thing I do is engage when I'm mad. But the thing that I think that I saw her doing that I went, oh no, is like that thing of Whitney basically being like, it makes me sad that we're cousins and we used to be good friends and like you don't seem to care anymore. And then that look back, I was just like, oh, I've done that.
You're an own it girl too, though.
I'm trying to own it right in this moment by saying, and also brave. Just like, I empathize of the feeling of having a really big face when no one else has a big face.
No.
She has a really big face. And I was like, damn, I know that feeling when like everyone else is really like narrow and you're just like, here's me in my big face.
No.
I'm really mad. I'm just these are my feelings.
I have a big face too. I have a huge face.
I have the biggest
face. When I'm next to people in a photo, I'm like, wow, look at that big face.
Same.
In the spirit of being own it girl, I would say I'm like Whitney.
Are you?
Yeah. Sensitive. Kind of annoying.
On a healing journey.
Yeah, like permanent youngest child.
Yes.
Trying to do their best, but also getting themselves into some trouble.
Is Whitney lightly Irish, a little bit?
No, she speaks like with a really strong like Midwest kind of accent. She says instead of healing, she says hillin and fillin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take it far and we transform her into like a shanty Irish like woman who's like leaving for New York from Belfast.
Yes, with her like scarf shawl wrapped around her waist.
She's
over.
Like the
yep.
She's the mom. She's literally the mom in Titanic tucking her kids into bed so they'll like drown in peace. Go to bed now, children. But we take it too far. But we, gotta love the wild rose.
I mean, all of these women to sacrifice themselves on the altar of reality television, it's
martyrs.
Really quite something. It's rough stuff.
They're fucking Joan of Arc, all of them.
It's so noble.
It is noble.
For the entertainment. They're basically, it's kind of like, go out there, drink this, take this, do the, you know, eat this, don't eat this, go out there. Now let's just see what comes out of you based on what you've been through.
Give your soul in every way possible. And sometimes your body, your physical and spiritual essence, release it to us.
Yep.
We will devour and destroy.
Yeah.
And you will be a husk.
And then you might be able to come out with your own line of tank tops. So the trade-off is perfect. Right?
Karen, this was amazing.
Ugh.
We'll do an in-person recording sometime with Laura, too. You have to come back.
I would adore it. Yeah. It was super fun. I miss you in person.
I know.
I miss your... I miss your friendship. We haven't seen each other in
you miss
like
my
three
big
months.
Face.
I miss your my big face next to your big face.
Me too. My moon
the way
face.
We hang out cheek to cheek
with Mike and Ike's.
But I'm so excited you guys are doing live shows again. I'm so excited like all that normalcy is starting again. It makes me happy.
Hopefully you guys will be back live soon.
Yes, I hope so
I can't
too.
Wait. That yeah. would be that's always a you have to if you ever get a chance to see My Favorite Murder live, it's so fun. Mm-hmm. It's like theater of the macabre in the best way. I love it.
Pure insanity. Pure insanity.
Pure comedy, fun, dark. It's great. So you can follow Karen at
Twitter.com/ as long as it still works. Twitter.com. That's at Karen Kilgariff. That's the only one I'm on.
And listen to My Favorite Murder every week and all the good programs on Exactly Right. Karen and George's network.
We have several podcasts on there.
Super fun. I know some of the people that do them. It's so many good podcasts on there. So it's a trove. So go check it out.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, Karen. Love you.
Love you. Thanks for having me. It was super fun.
And love and light to all of you.
Love and light.
Bye.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.